and just thank God for that good time. I've explained at different times that I find that there are people, when they look to anything good happening in their life, they always expect something bad to happen thereafter. And they have such a pessimistic outlook. Even Christians that I've known, many of them have that outlook at life. And I don't believe that that's biblical. I believe we should always be rejoicing in God, knowing that he has the best thing for us. Does anybody believe that? So you can rejoice this day that God has a good end prepared for you, and he looks for a good end in your heart. I'm going to be speaking this day from 1 Kings and looking at a familiar passage which I have always loved and always shows such a victorious presentation of a man, the prophet of God, Elijah, that was looking for a great move of God. And at this time, if you ever read through the Old Testament, you're going to get very disconcerted with the Israelites, because it seemed for one generation there was a good king and he would turn towards the things of God. And then you'd have a series of other generations that seemed to turn away from God. And this happens through all the books of the Bible that we find in the Old Testament. And of course, we see a lot of people turning away in the New Testament, but it's more prevalent when you think about the kings of Israel and Judah. Israel never seemed to have a good king. Judah had some good kings, and the generation of the people, they would come to God, and then pretty soon they would be turned towards idolatry. So it just so happens where I'm taking this scripture from. It's speaking of Elijah and the wonderful things that had happened. I have two titles for this, and the one is "I Alone Am Left." And the other title, "And I Am Left Alone." I alone am left, and I am left alone. And I was thinking, when I alone am left, is one that I am the only one that is serving God. And maybe you have felt that at time, that in your family, in your life, I alone am left to serve God. But then there are other people that think, I am left alone. And they think, where is God in my life? Where is God in my situation? And where are God's people that are supposed to be gathering around me? Where are the ones I've tried to help? And so many. There's two different ways of approaching this. And reading, I'm going to be reading two portions from 1 Kings, and I'm beginning in chapter 18, and reading the glorious presentation of the encounter of Elijah with the prophets of Baal, starting at verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. I just pause at that. I would like to encourage you this day that if the world is what you desire to follow, if the things of the world are the things that you find pleasure in and find joy in, and if the world is giving you the joy and the satisfaction of the knowledge of eternal life, then follow the world. But if you want to have eternal life, there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Do I get any amens there? Because the world will string you along, and you will have the pleasures of sin for a season, but it will sting like an adder. And at the last, you will be beyond dead. You will have the second death. So therefore, the Bible says, choose today who you will follow. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? And Elijah came unto all the presence and said, "How long shall you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. At this point, Elijah was feeling alone as a prophet of God, as a man that stood for the things of God. I think we'll be able to see that even the best of God's people sometimes can fall into a state of, I wouldn't say confusion, but a lack of knowledge in seeing that God has more than meets the eye. And so Elijah is in that state. He said, I, even I alone, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. But I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which they made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and filled 4 barrels of water, and poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening offering that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look to the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go up 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens were black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What an amazing story that is. That has always thrilled my heart to think about God moving miraculously in the lives of the prophets of old. And even in the New Testament, we see so many miracles, and obviously in Christ's life and in the lives of the disciples, the apostles, and others that were disciples of Christ. And it's always thrilled me to think about a man that is so in touch with God that he's hearing the voice of God and he's responding and doing the exploits that Elijah did. There he goes and he makes a sacrifice on an altar, and the fire from heaven comes down and consumes that sacrifice. And then they destroy the Baal, prophets of Baal and the worshiper, these 450 men that were leading people to the false god. And Elijah, it said, he also had prophesied that it would not rain for 3 years. It did not rain. And then he called upon God, and rain came. And we see that it was such an abundance of rain. And so we see that the power of God was working in the life of Elijah. Oh, we long to see those kinds of things happening in our day. Long to see the power of God move in a mighty way. And we in part, and we in a fraction, I would say, of that, have seen God move even in the midst of this congregation in various and sundry times, that God has moved in wonderful ways in the lives of people in this church. And I thank God for that. And I look for God to move even more mightily in our midst as we turn our hearts to God and we begin to listen to God. Who believes that God can work today as he worked then? And we say amen to that. So I'm saying, keep your mind's eye on that. And now maybe you have had victories in your life, or maybe you have a time when you are going through a time of testing. I want to assure you that just because you've had a victory in your life doesn't mean that now something bad has to happen. Get that mindset out from you, and remember that God is God all the time. He's not just God when good things are happening. He's just not the God that you can appeal to when things are difficult, but he is always God, and he will always be there. And so we should be steadfast in the things of the Lord, unmovable, unshaken in our trust in God. And you would think that a man like Elijah, that had just seen such a phenomenal move of God, of having prophesied that it would not rain for 3 years and it didn't rain, a man that called down fire from heaven and fire came down, a man that destroyed the prophets of Baal, a man that outran Ahab, who was on a horse, to get to the place where he was going. What an amazing thing. This man must have been steadfast for the rest of his life and never had been shaken. But yet he has a feeling that he alone is left. I read over in chapter 19 then, and listen to what happens. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Jezebel was a wicked queen that had taken over the kingdom. And she had been searching for Elijah for a long while, but now she was determined that she was going to kill Elijah for what he had done to these prophets of Baal. So she threatened him. And you would think that after he stood up to 450 prophets of Baal, that this wicked woman would not even make him lose stride in his stand for God. But after Jezebel threatens him, we read what happens. And when he saw that, or when he heard that, I would say, he arose and went for his life. He was scared to death, it seems. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went up a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. My, oh my, what happened to this prophet that was so steadfast? This sounds like Jonah. This sounds like Job in his misery. We want to see somebody that will stand firm like Paul did in the midst of adversity and not be shaken. We want to be the kinds of Christians that not only stand up for God when things are going our way, but will stand up for God in adversity. I want to stand up for God in the midst of adversity no matter what. I want to have that mindset. I pray to God that I could follow through with what my desire is. But I do have a mindset that I want to stand up and give praise and honor to God and trust in Him with all my heart. No matter what the situation, no matter which way the wind blows, the winds of adversity or the winds of good fortune, I want to stand and trust God with all my heart. I will let you know this. That the moment that you have something good happen to you in the Lord, Satan will be there to try to destroy your witness. I'm telling you, the very moment. Well, then you say, uh-oh, there you prove it. You prove that as soon as something good happens, something evil is going to happen. But that's not the case. Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We can be tempted by Satan, but not yield. He'll say amen to that. We do not have to yield to the temptations nor the onslaught of the evil one. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you live with that kind of attitude and that kind of mindset, you can stand up against the greatest adversity and not be shaken. Satan will come when you're feeling low or you're feeling dejected, and he will try to bring you into a place of despair, of despondency, and depression. He will try to bring you down. Be aware of that. Be aware that Satan is out to kill and to rob and destroy. I believe in a real Satan. I believe in a real Satan, not one that has maybe a red suit and pointy ears and a tail, but I believe that Satan will come as an angel of light, and he will try to throw you off your course by threats or by smooth speech. And if anybody is in a place of devastation now, I am telling you, do not yield, because God is with you, and I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Elijah demonstrated this, that the Lord had been moving in him. He demonstrates it through his, I can't say it a lack of faith, but through his despondency. Because it only could have been the power of God that brought about the destruction of the prophets of Baal and the fire coming down from heaven and the great rain that he prophesied. Because now, when devastation comes or when threats come, he shows that he reverts to his humanity. His humanity now stands in fear. Do you believe that a Christian should stand in fear? Oh, what a weak, pathetic no. Do you believe that a Christian should stand in fear? No, we should stand in the power of God Almighty, of Jesus Christ, who has won the battle for us. I'm not going to be fearful. I will not be discouraged. I will not give in to the onslaught of the enemy. Thank God. Don't be discouraged. Hold on to God through the night. Behold, the day cometh. I'm telling you, God will be there to deliver you. I thank God for that. I believe that God wants to bring times of refreshing to those that have been taken by Satan and unfortunately have given in. If you have given in to the lie of Satan that you should fall into a state of depression or of despair because of some adversity that has come your way, then you need to wake up and know that God wants to bring you through. God wants to bring you through to the light of day and set you up on a high place. Elijah now is in a difficult place. God calls us at times away to now a quiet place. And so I think that this is what he has done, or this is what I glean from this, that he has done with Elijah. So even though Elijah ran away, I want to say this to you also, that maybe you have given in to difficult times and somehow you bring yourself in to a place of depression or despondency. God can work even in the midst of this. Some people are constantly wanting you to drag yourself up by your own bootstraps, but I'm telling you, I have a God of compassion that sees me when I'm crippled with fear, that will lift me up and place me in his love. So be encouraged. God will not reject you if you are rejoicing, and God will not reject you though you have fallen under the hand of Satan. God is still reaching out there. All you have to do is reach over to him. He is as close as a prayer away. God is there for you. Praise God. So I'm reading, continuing to read in 19. And he said, "O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He wants to die. He says to himself, my life is as they have died, so I just want to die. And as they have failed and done evil things, so it seems that I have slipped away. I want to be out of here. That's another thing I want to make a point. Does anybody out there believe that Christ is coming for his church? Now, is anybody eager for Christ to come for his church? Now, let me say this to you. Some people are saying, "Oh, I wish that God would just come back and rapture me out of this rotten, stinking, lousy, no good, pitiful, sinful, evil world." And others say, "I look for God's kingdom to come." If you're one of the people that wants God to come so he can snatch you out of this world, you've got the wrong mindset. God wants you to be salt and light. He wants you to occupy until he comes. He doesn't want you to have a desire to be snatched out of here so you can be snatched out of misery. He wants you to be more than conqueror. He wants you to be an overcomer. I don't want to leave in defeat. I want to leave in victory. When Christ comes, I want to be victorious as he comes. So if you fall into a place where, "Oh, I just wish God would come back and end all this and just set everything straight," then you have the wrong mindset. We're the ones that are called to set things straight in our heart. No, even if we were to be martyred, we should be standing up for the kingdom of God, knowing that we have been taken out of here, maybe by death or maybe by persecution, but we have stood firm in the things of Jesus Christ, and we have not been shaken and we have not been moved, but God Almighty has seen to take us out of here. Never go into the place where you think that, "Oh, I can't win this battle. I can't overcome." God wants you to overcome individually. He wants you to be individual overcomers. You are not failures. God has not set us up for failure. He has set us up for victory in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Then live like it. Live as though you're more than conquerors through him that loved you. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be more than conquerors. But Elijah was in this place of despondency. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." God does bring us away to places that are quiet and to places to refresh us. And I believe so many times when I have ever felt the onslaught of Satan, I have looked to God, and I don't know if it's been the hand of an angel, it's been the Holy Spirit, it's been the touch of Christ himself upon me, but I have been delivered from so many things in the midst of despondency or depression when it would come upon me. God has lifted me out of the pit of despair and placed me on a solid rock. And he will do that for you. He will bring an angel. We are surrounded by so great a company of those of the faithful. And not only are we surrounded by those whose testimonies have seen that God is faithful, but we are surrounded by a host of angelic spirits. We are surrounded by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ has said to us, "I will never leave nor forsake you." I mean, what a promise, what a joyous promise to anyone that is going through anything that would ever bring them despair or despondency. God calls us away to that quiet place. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because thy journey is too great for thee." And he arose and he did eat, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights under Horeb, the mount of God. God was bringing him to a place, and God is bringing this congregation to a place where he wants to fill you more and more with the Spirit of God. God wants to fill this congregation with the Spirit of God. believe this, because he has not called us to just move along through Boolesville and Orange and Sullivan counties and the surrounding areas just by people that are saved and satisfied and us for and no more attitude. He wants us to be salt and light, to be evangelists and ministers of the kingdom of God. You each one are called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And God needs to fill you and wants to fill you with his spirit that you might go on. And so he calls Elijah. He refreshes him a bit with the touch of an angel. And now he brings him to Mount Horeb. And he came thither unto the cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And let me be the word of God to you this day. What are you doing with your life today? How are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ today? What is your spiritual state now, this moment? Are you walking in the fullness of the power of God? Are you living with an attitude of one that is more than conqueror? Or are you walking in defeat, despondency, and depression? If you are, Christ is saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing with your life, Elijah? And I say that to you. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown away thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And this is what many people feel in Christendom that are trying to serve the Lord. That the church has gone to pot. We now are ordaining homosexuals. We now are aborting babies. We are now going out and having transvestite bathrooms. We're doing everything that is evil against the word of God. And so they are saying, what can we do? We have to give up or we have to give in. I'm not going to do either. I'm going to press on to the things of God. Elijah, I don't know if you want to call it, he's having a pity party, but he certainly doesn't sound like the man that just called fire down from heaven. He said, oh, they have slain the prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left. I'm the only one left, he said, and they seek my life to take it away. He thinks he's the only one left in all the world that is serving God. And maybe you have gone for that a thought in your mind. My people suffer for lack of knowledge. Let me assure you that there are a host of witnesses that are out there preaching the gospel in power, and they want you to be part of that. We want you to be part of that. Hallelujah. And he said to him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. I know that at times in my own life, I want to see the Lord just come down and shake things up. See people just screaming for God. And after the wind, an earthquake. And just shake everybody up at the core of their life. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Boy, I just want to call fire down and consume the wicked people of this world at times. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. We've heard this time and again, a still small voice. That is the voice to me of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says to me, this is the way, walk ye in it. When I open the word and I just read words, they fall down as water off the duck's back. But when I read the word of God as empowered by the Holy Spirit, that word takes root within my spirit and it grows and becomes a fruitful tree, a fruitful vine that brings me into a deeper place in God. I am telling you, open up your heart and let the Spirit of God fill you with his goodness and with his presence and with his mercy with that still small voice. Hallelujah. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? God had just spoken to him and showed him his power in the wind and the earthquake and the fire, but had shown him his grace and his love and his true power in that still small voice of God. And I've always loved the scripture Jimmy Caston used to say, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And it always thrilled me to hear him repeat that. And he lived it and believed it. He still does, so I thank God for that. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mouth. And verse 14, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. Again now he complains, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it. This is about the third time he's done this, because in the beginning when I began to read, he said, I'm the only prophet left. And then twice in verse 10 of chapter 19 and verse 14, he complains, I am left. And he's telling God who is out there that believes in him. And the Lord said to him, go, return to the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimoholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I am telling you that there are people in this world that are zealous for God. They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're standing up and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, no matter if it be good times or bad times. As God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? I am asking you, not what are you doing here? Why did you come? But what are you doing with your life? How are you letting your life be a testimony for God Almighty? Are you living your life in victory? Are you living it with the knowledge that God is with you and that you are more than conqueror through him that loved you? Are you living that kind of life? Then you are a testimony when you stand that way and you give glory to God by your lifestyle and by your faith and by your attitude. That is what God is seeking to do in your life. Now, I told you that Satan will come to try to destroy you. And be aware of that, because it wasn't any sooner that Christ was at his baptism was anointed with the Spirit that he was driven into the mountain to be tempted by Satan. And it wasn't any longer after that, that when he came to the place of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that in within a week they were crying, crucify him. And when Christ went so joyously so many times to the garden to pray, that in Gethsemane he was sweating great drops of blood because Satan was trying to destroy his life before he could offer it as a sacrifice on Calvary. But Christ stood firm. You know why? Because he knew. He knew that it was coming. And I am forewarning you. It says to be forewarned is to be forearmed. I am arming you with the knowledge that whenever you do something good, whenever a high time comes to you in God Almighty, that Satan will be there to try to steal it, to rob it, and to destroy it. But all you have to do is stand. I will not be moved. I will not be shaken. I am trusting with God with all my heart. And you stand firm in the things of God, and you will see the blessing of God. Be aware of that. Be aware of that, and do not be surprised by that. But welcome it. Count it all joy when you face various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing, a mature Christian man or woman. I thank God for that. Don't give up in discouragement. No matter what happens, do not give up in discouragement, but present it before God in faith. When you have something that is about to shake your house, to shake your foundation, lay it before God. God cares for you. He will bring you through. Let these words of mine sink into your heart this day. God will bring you through. He will set you on a high place. He will not let you be brought down because he loves you and has prepared a great thing for you. And after you have stood firm in the things of God, be prepared to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people think, okay, I just got to bear up under the trials and it's just going to be me. No, it's going to be God. He's going to take you away to a quiet place in him. He's going to feed you with the word of God, and he's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So that the times that you had devastation and difficulty are going to be so overshadowed with the bliss and with the joy you feel with the Spirit of God filling you up. And I don't mean in eternity, I mean here and now. You will stand firm in the Lord and he will fill you up. He will reveal himself to you in such a beautiful manner that you will say, why did I ever let my countenance fall? Why was I ever in despair? I have a God that has loved me. And if he has loved me and has given his son, Jesus Christ, will he not also with him freely give us all things? Rejoice in God who is preparing to fill you. How many out there expect to be blessed? I didn't see every hand up. And every hand that didn't go up, let me tell you, God wants to bless you. But maybe you yourself are refusing the blessing. It's like the rich young ruler that came up to Christ. And he said, what do I have to do to get the kingdom of God? He said, well, you know, the commandments keep them. And he said, I've done all that. So you're all doing that. You're all coming here wanting to serve God. You're all found in church. He said, there's one thing you're lacking. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. But some of you are holding on to something. You're holding on maybe to your own self-worth, your pride, and your refusal to believe every word of God. But I'm telling you, if you give it all up to God, if you give it over to God, if you trust in God with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your path and he will bless you with an abundance of blessing. There is an abundance of rain coming and I can feel it, an abundance of rain. And God wants to bring that to you and bless you in a mighty way. Open up your umbrellas, turn them upside down. As you saw, a song used to say, pennies from heaven, you're going to get blessings from God Almighty. That's what God has prepared for you. I thank God. I feel blessed this day to be in the kingdom of God and to know that I have the God of all creation that has loved me. It's the creator that has loved me and given himself for me. What more do I need? But he gives me an abundance of his love. Hallelujah. Three times I told you, he said, I'm the only one around here, Elijah said, the only one left that trusts in you. And God very gently rebukes him and shows him his own blessing. Had Elijah been aware of Satan and his wiles, that Satan was coming to destroy him and ruin his testimony, he would not have gone into this state of depression. And I say this to you again. I know that there are people in this congregation that are, if they're not in a state of depression, they are being brought down by Satan. They have things that are bringing them down, and then you're looking at me and you're saying, well, you're not very compassionate to point that or throw it in my face. I don't mean to throw it in your face. I mean to throw a blessing into your lap, the blessing of God Almighty. He's the one that cares for you. If I sat up here and spoke nice words to you, some philosophical thought that if you pick yourself up and you get things straightened out, then I would be feeding you a lie. The only thing that's ever going to make you happy is the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life and the joy that only Christ can bring. It's Christ who is your answer. Nothing else will supply the joy that you seek. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what you need, the peace that passeth all understanding. God was with Elijah. God was with him. Used to be a song, why should I worry, why should I fret? I've got a mansion builder who ain't through with me yet. And I thank God that I know that I am a man in spiritual construction. That God is bringing me to a deeper place in him in every day. As I yield to him and as I keep my heart just knit on the fact that I can't do it of myself, but I can do all things, or Christ can do all things in me. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. It's he that is my strength. He is my strong tower. He is my sure foundation. That's who I'm trusting in. And that's what God has sent me to say to you today. Put your trust in him. Trust in Jesus Christ and don't become despondent or brought down by the lie of Satan. God wants you to be more than conqueror in him. If he had that knowledge, he would have known that God was with him, would never leave nor forsake him. He would have had that joy. Imagine if an angel came and gave you a cake to eat. Man, angel food cake, I guess. That must have been what he fed him, angel food cake. Right up my alley. The more sugar, the better. After the men's breakfast was a wonderful time on Saturday. And, of course, for men, the only thing you can make is bacon or sausage, eggs, and pancakes. And so they poured all the fat into a cup about that high, and they were saving it for me so I could drink it when I came in. Fat and sugar. That's my diet, folks. Fat and sugar. I just kid you, but I do enjoy a little bit of fat and a lot of sugar. But God wants to bless you. He wants to give you an abundance in your life. And the abundance of joy is what I'm thinking. And if Elijah had known that God was with him and that angels were ministering to him, what a joy. And that there were other believers, 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal, and that prophets were rising up. God wasn't, you're not the only one that God is dealing with. You're not the only prophet, is he telling Elijah. I'm rising up Elisha, not only that, but to do better than you. It ends up that Elisha did twice the works that Elijah had done. And what a mighty move that God was continuing. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, a beautiful thought says, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." He speaks this to Jehoshaphat. I am telling you this day, the battle is not yours, it is God's. If you're depressed, if you're despondent, it's because you're trying to fight the battle on your own. But who fights the battle for you? God. God is the one who is fighting the battle for him. Get out of his way. He's a better fighter than you'll ever be. Elvira has a favorite scripture. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Well, when I look at a 92-year-old woman that has stood fast in the things of God all these years and has constantly proclaimed the name of God and waited on the Lord, I am encouraged. I am encouraged by a testimony of those that have stood firm in the things of God. I don't know that I'll make it to 92, but if I do, it's going to be as I've trusted in God Almighty. I do not plan to go back. I don't plan to step back and say I'm giving up. A Christian never retires from serving God. They go out and they minister. Whether I'm here in this pulpit, I'm going to continue to preach the name of Jesus Christ in whatever place I am. I see Dick Morgan back there waving. I think Dick's close to 300 now. Now, I know he's close to 90, but God bless him that he's been faithful in lifting up the name of Jesus Christ forever and ever. You never retire in the Lord. You keep on giving him the glory that is due his name. I'd like to close with one final scripture. When Elijah was firm in this understanding that God was with him and that he was surrounded by not only a great cloud of witnesses of humanity, but even the heavenly host was at his disposal. What a testimony he had. It seemed that something waned in Elijah. He certainly had power to call down fire from heaven. But even in the best of Christians, sometimes you can find a lack of knowledge, or they lose the insight of God constantly being with them. Because when they were being attacked at one time, in 2 Kings 6:16, I have this verse. And he answered, "Fear not," he said to his servant, "fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." I want you to know that who is your adversary? Satan. And what form has he taken this way in the evil hearts of men and women that have sought to destroy your Christian testimony? Whatever form that that has taken, I want you to know that there are more that be with you than be with the evil ones. There are more that are looking forward for your good than that are looking for your destruction. God is for you. God will bring you through. God will deliver you. If you've fallen into a state of depression or doubt that God is there, then I'm telling you, God wants to fill you with his Spirit. As I said before, expect that, the filling of the Spirit of God, and expect a blessing that God will give you from having filled you with his Spirit. You are not alone, and you are not the only one. You're not the only one that is serving God, but you certainly are chosen by God to be loved by him specifically. God loves individually. I thank God that he loves Bert Lloyd. I believe that maybe I'm the beloved one. Maybe I'm the one in John that was leaning on Christ's bosom. And maybe I'm the disciple Christ loved. In fact, I am. I'm the disciple that Christ loved. Who are you? Are you the disciple that Christ loved? Rejoice in that. Let that permeate your mind and every aspect of your life. And go in the knowledge of his presence with you. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you, Lord God, that not only will you never leave nor forsake us, but you will be our rear ward. You will be behind us. You will be before us, Lord God, and you will go and protect us, Lord, against all adversity. You have loved us with an undying love. You will always be with us. You will always be our strong tower. We can trust in you and not be afraid. We give you praise this day, Lord. I pray that you bless this congregation as they go through this week. May they go through as conquerors, because Christ loved them and is in them. I thank you for your love. In Christ's name, amen and amen. God bless you.